It's good to see all of you here this morning. I want to ask a question right at the beginning. How many in here are or have been teachers, school teachers? Raise your hand high. I want to see. 1, 2, 3, close to 10, 12. Okay. How many of you are English teachers? Come on, Brenda. I know you are. Get it up there. I'm sorry ahead of time. I'm sorry ahead of time if I screw this up. This morning, I want to share with you that Pastor told me over a month ago that he was needing someone to do this. And I've been working on this ever since then. I got to bed at 3 o'clock this morning and it still wasn't done. And I don't know what I'm doing up here at all. Sometimes messages come easy, and Pastor and I have talked about this. Sometimes it's just write it down or take notes, and you got it. And the next time, it's like, it's tough, it's hard, and that's one of those mornings. But last week, I knew what God wanted me to talk about, but I didn't know what I was supposed to say. And I have one word written on my notes. The title of my message is the word, come. Now, I would like you to define in your mind, I can't hear your response, so don't try to respond out loud, but in your mind, I would like you to define the word come without using the word come. Define the word in your mind, come, without using it. Now, it's not terribly hard. I mean, it's fairly easy to do. It seems that it could be a command. Parents of little children, have you ever said to your child, come here? Okay, it's a command. Better do it quick or you'll be in trouble. Or it could mean an invitation. Oh, would you come? Come. Please come. It's a word that requires some sort of action or movement. It can be an invitation, cordial, friendly. How do you feel when someone tells you cordially, come? Please come. You feel included, don't you? You feel like they want me there. Maybe I better go. They really do want me there for whatever reason. Your response in that situation is requested, desired, and needed. Now, I want you to think just the opposite. The opposite of come. Now, this you could say, and I could probably see your lips move. What is the opposite of come? Don said, go. I asked Pastor this last week because this has been going through my mind as I have been thinking about this for a long time. Can you imagine? This is sobering, so think carefully here. Remember the story in the Bible, I'm going to use it this morning. You remember the story in the Bible where Jesus says the kingdom of heaven will be like. Now, please don't think that we're a bunch of goats and a bunch of sheep, but Jesus says the kingdom will be like a shepherd separating the goats and the sheep. Do you remember, and I'm mixing it up, but do you remember what the shepherd, what the king says to the goats? Get away from me into the place prepared. Just get there. This is awful. You get away from me and go to the place that I've, this is Buller translation, go to the place that I have prepared for the devil and his angels. Come is a welcoming statement. Please come. But here to the goats, and we'll talk about this, to the goats he says, get away from me. The God of the universe who made each and every one of them says, go to hell. God says that. Go to the place prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you know that the hell was never prepared for people? God never intended for anyone to go to hell. Some will. But hell was prepared for Satan. It wasn't prepared for people. But Jesus in the King says in the story, get away from me. This sounds terrible, but he says, go to hell. So the two words, come and go. The word come, I wanted to draw that stark difference at the very beginning. Jesus uses the word come many times in Scripture. Pastor made the reference last week or maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think Jesus might have been referring to the Jewish day. He might have been referring to all the load of the law that the scribes and Pharisees were placing on the church. We don't have a clue, ladies and gentlemen, what this was like. Now, if you're still in the, if know of the Jewish Judaism, you know about all the do's and the don'ts and the thou shalt's and thou shalt not's. We don't know anything about that. But in that day, the Pharisees, I think they spent their day thinking up things that they could lay on the people. Okay, let's tell them, okay, you can't do this because, or why don't you wash your hands before you eat? Why don't you, and each of these things was a law and a regulation that they had to keep. And I think Jesus might have been referring to that. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You're loaded down with all this stuff. He might have been talking about that. But I certainly see other applications to his come here. This week particularly, I know, at least in this community, life is hard. We've been through it this week, losing a good friend, many of us. Is life heavy for you this morning? Is life hard? I hope you've had a great week, but are there things that are just heavy? How many of you are raising grandchildren or hassling finances or raising your own children and things are just tough? Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I like that, rest. We used to have a program on the local radio station called the Wesleyan Hour. Some of you may remember that. Norman Wilson would get on there for an hour. And we got to jokingly call the Wesleyan Hour our nap time. And we would take our Wesleyan Hour Sunday afternoon. Mine has turned into Wesleyan Hours on Sunday afternoon. I often, and you're going to think I'm awful. That's okay. I don't really care. I often will lay down on the office floor. And Barb thinks I'm sleeping, okay? Sometimes. That's where I pray. Can you believe that? That's where I, and you children might remember this, that's where I snuggle with God. I snuggle with God on my office floor. I lay down and I say, oh God, I'm not sitting, but let me sit in your lap for a while. Life is heavy. Life is hard. I got bugs in my corn. I got weeds coming out of everywhere, and life is heavy. Can I just snuggle for a while? And I will lay there, and Barb says, I know you were asleep because you were snoring. No, I wasn't. I was praying. I might have been asleep. snuggle time with God. Do you, don't raise your hands for heaven's sakes, do you take snuggle time with God? I'm looking at every face I can connect with. Do you? If you don't, shame on you. Time when you can just hear God say, come, come here. Look at Cora. Go ahead, look at Cora. She is snuggling with Grandpa. That is what we need to do with God, Cora. That's exactly it. We snuggle. We get up in His lap and say, God, this is hard. God, this is heavy. Please don't be embarrassed, Cora. That was just perfect. We get up into His lap, and that's what I do when I lay on the floor. God, let me snuggle. And I hear Him say, come, you're weary, come. And so I lay on the floor. Sometimes I fall asleep, often I will. Today I will, I hope. Snuggle time. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I noticed last week when Pastor mentioned this, it came into my mind. Do you notice how he talks about the yoke? I don't know if Pastor mentioned this, but I want to. Take my yoke upon you. It does not say, I'm going to throw this baby on you and you're going to pull it. This is an invitation. This is a come, do this. Jesus says, "You go ahead, pick it up, take my yoke, and put it on." He's not slapping it on us. He's saying, go ahead, pick it up, and put it on yourself. Why? Because it's easy, and it's light. Now, I got to thinking about that. Now, walking to the cross with your cross and all bloodied and beat, that's not easy, Jesus. He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. That's easy. But I come up with a different definition of what easy means. Do you know that Jesus, except for the Pharisees, and he argued with them all the time, all basically Jesus did was went around and shared the good news of salvation with people. He lived his life is what he did. Some accepted him and many didn't. But other than those few things that we have with him arguing about with the Pharisees, Jesus didn't go out to make $1 million. He never owned a home. He never owned a tomb. He didn't even buy a grave site. His life was easy compared to ours when we compare all of our grief that we go through. He didn't own land. Obviously, he owned it all, but he didn't have title to any. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. And my burden is light. I think it's harder to stay upbeat and positive nowadays. Wars and rumors of wars, it's very scriptural what's going on. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. It's so easy for me to get wrapped up in all the turmoil of the day. Some of you have gotten past that. It's so easy to pick sides, and when the news isn't falling on my side, or my point of view is not being expressed, it's easy for me to be concerned. The short passage, we're promised rest if we'll come to Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm not talking about come to Jesus and be saved. Even if you are saved already, come to Jesus. Just sit in his lap. Just sit in his lap. I also noticed that the invitation, come. Jesus uses it when the safety of the boat is not an option. The safety of a boat is not always an option. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 and sent them home, remember the story? He went up into the mountains to pray. And then, Matthew 14, 25, during the fourth watch of the night, you know when that is? Fourth watch, when would that be? Some of you can calculate it. 6 o'clock in the evening to 9 o'clock is the first watch. 9 o'clock to midnight is the second watch. Midnight to 3 is the third watch. And during the fourth watch, sometime between 3 and 6 o'clock in the night, between 3 at night and 6 in the morning, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Don't you just love Peter? Here he is. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. Walking on the water is not normal for us. You don't just get out of the boat and walk on the water, do you? Well, Jesus did. And it's because of the faith that Peter had that he was able to do this. Now, we all say that Jesus walked on the water. Well, absolutely he did. Have you forgotten that Peter did too? Peter walked on the water too. Not maybe for very far, but he did. How many of you can walk on the water? Show me your hand. You think you could? Think you could walk on the water, Pastor? He's not nodding. Where's your faith? Jesus did it. Peter did it. You all know the story, and I know the story, that he began to sink almost immediately because he took his eyes off of Jesus and saw the wind and the waves, and all the other concerns of life got to him, and he lost it, and down he went and almost drowned, and Jesus had to reach out and save him, and he did. My question is this, though. What about this invitation that Jesus gives Peter and says, come? This is the strangest thing to me. Jesus is within talking distance of the boat. He's almost there. They're out in the middle of a 12-mile Sea of Galilee. He's almost to the boat. I don't know what ails Peter, but he says, Peter, Jesus, if that's really you, then tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. And so 100 yards or less, Peter gets out of the boat. When Jesus could have said, oh, just hang on to your shorts there, Peter. I'm a-coming. I'm almost there. What was going on? Why did Jesus tell Peter to come? And I don't know the answer. But I do know this. After Jesus was gone and Peter and the disciples were being disciples, proclaiming the word, and they sat around in the upper room, and whatever discussions they might have had, Peter could always say, well, yeah, you guys, you stayed in the boat. I walked on the water. How many of you did that? And none of them could answer, I did. But Peter could. So what was going on here? Was Peter's faith being tested? Why did Jesus tell Peter to come to him on the water? I kind of think it was to prove that if you believe in Jesus, Pastor, you could walk on the water too. Zach and Mason, you're my grandson, so I'll talk to you. If you believed in Jesus Christ and he wants you to walk on the water, you can too. And the reason is because Peter did it. Peter wasn't God's son. Peter didn't own all the water like Jesus did, but he was able to do it because Jesus told him to come. The boat is not always an option. And Jesus might ask you, walk on the water. Come on. Take my yoke. Let's go. Let's go. The invitation to come could mean a major stretch of your faith. And then in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Let them come." I was going to do a children's segment this morning. I talked to Mary last week. I said, "I'm going to do a children's thing." Well, that didn't come together. So I'm not doing a children's thing. But let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them, or such as them. I tell you the truth. Now get this. This is important. If you can understand English this morning, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering this, but if you can understand English this morning, this is important. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. If we don't receive the kingdom like a little child, we will never enter it. Now, he did not mean you have to do this when you're between the ages of 2 and 5. That's not what Jesus meant. Pastor talked about Nicodemus. You must be born again. Huh? Born again? You got to be out of your mind. Born of the water and born of the Spirit. Have you ever listened to a small child? And you parents, this, you'll identify with this. You've got parents of young children. Have you ever listened to your children pray? I mean little guys. Have you ever listened to a 3-year-old pray? It is awesome. It is absolutely awesome to hear those little tiny children. Dear God, please take care of mommy. Take care of daddy. Take care of Sissy, my cat. It's awesome. You know why Jesus said, unless you come to me as a little child? It's because of that faith. It's because of that innocence. Like I've told you before, I used to pray, and I don't do this anymore, but I used to pray, Lord, when you get time, will you take care of my problems? I don't pray that way anymore because I know that God always has time for each and every one of us. But this little child is so innocent. God, take care of this. Take care of mommy. Take care of daddy. It's not too terribly long ago. I have my youngest grandson. His name is Eli. And he'll be 5. He's 4 now. He'll be 5 this summer. And he was about 1. He was probably 2 or 3. Between 2 and 3. They came to our house one afternoon. They live in Neely, and they came to our house one afternoon. He got to the back door. I mean, just in the door. And I was there, and Barb was there. We were waiting for him to come in. And he pokes out a little jar. It was a popcorn container. And Eli said 2 words, "All gone." And he ran to the toy closet. Gave me the jar, said, "All gone." Ran to the toy closet because he knew Grandpa would refill the container. He didn't have to explain anything else. All gone. And that was it. And then he left. His expectation was Grandpa's going to fill it and it'll be full when we go home. Jesus said, unless you come to me like that, knowing what I will do for you, knowing what I can do for you, you'll never enter the kingdom. I take a lesson from Eli. Did you come this morning with your heart all gone? Did you come this morning all empty? Oh, God, empty. It's all gone. Fill me up with the expectation that he would fill you up. I did. I came that way. And as I've already shared with you, I was pretty empty. And then lastly, John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the greatest day of the feast, the last and greatest day, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty," I should yell this, but I won't. "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." In John chapter 4, verse 13, Jesus answered the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a stream of water welling up to eternal life." Sometimes this is hard to understand. We have a hard time seeing and understanding what Jesus was saying. But in Psalms 42, now draw this comparison, and I think it'll help us understand. Psalms 42, 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the spring, for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Jesus isn't talking about water, physical water. He's talking about a spiritual need. This morning, I realized back when I preached at Spencer on Palm Sunday, I heard a remarkable story, very short but very good story. A young man was saved at Spencer Wesleyan just a few months ago. And it was almost like, oh, yeah, that's what we do at church. We don't do altar calls anymore. We don't have the altar open. If you would like to come and if you would like to answer Jesus' call to come, we just don't. We used to do that all the time. And I don't know why we don't do that anymore. What we did, and I wanted to just share this with you because some of you have never seen it. If someone wanted to pray or if someone really wanted to meet God or accept Jesus for the first time ever, we would invite them to come and kneel at the altar. I knelt at the altar at the age of 9 at the camp out here east of town. That's where I accepted Christ, at an altar just like this. And the preacher was up here ranting and raving, just a little guy. B.D. Hun was his name. I'll never forget it. But I responded to the answer, to the question or the command, come. And I was told Palm Sunday that this young man, 16 years old, had been waiting for some preacher to invite him to come to Jesus. And we don't do that anymore. But that Sunday, whenever it was, several months before I was there, they'd had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker had told them he never gets up without offering everybody in attendance the chance to come and meet Jesus. He just doesn't do it. If he's on the platform, he says, "Before I close, you're going to have an opportunity to come up here to pray and meet Jesus or accept Jesus or whatever it is you need." We're going to do that today. We're going to do that today. Like I shared with you, my cup was empty today. It's been a rough week. If you're farming and go from 4 inches of rain and then try to get your work done and drought in before that, I lost an uncle this week. I had a funeral to attend. It's been a rough week. I'm empty. If you're empty, maybe you just need to come. Maybe you have never, you've been to church all your life perhaps, and you've heard about this stuff about coming to Jesus or accepting Jesus. You've heard it, but you really don't know what it is, and you don't ever remember doing it. You don't ever remember coming to Jesus and accepting Him. Maybe you don't, maybe you haven't. Today's the day. If you're here in a group like this, this size, there's always somebody who is a churchian and not a Christian. Someone who does the church thing but has never asked Jesus to come in to their life. Revelation 3:20, I'm closing with this. Jesus says, "Here I am, and I'm standing at the door knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door of their heart, I will come in." I will come. You don't even have to go through the door. Jesus will come in and eat with him and he with me. In John chapter 17, this is probably my favorite prayer in all of the Bible. Jesus is asking God. Jesus is talking to God the Father. And he says, "I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. I want them with me, Father. I want them." It's not like, "Oh, how do I get to Jesus?" Jesus is saying, "I want you with me. You come. Come, please, come." I don't know what we had planned for music. Karen, would you come and play something? I'd like you to stand. Stand up with me, please. Makes it easy if you want to do this. If you want to come, Jesus is right where you are, okay? There is nothing mystical about coming to the front of the church other than a testimony. But this morning, if you would like to come to Jesus for any reason, whether it's to accept him for the first time ever, and no one's going to judge you because nobody knows. If you would like to come to accept him for the first time ever, to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior," I invite you to come. You can kneel, you can stand, I will shake your hand, pastor is here, we'll pray with you if you'd like, whatever. Maybe you just want to come snuggle with Jesus. Maybe you just want to come just snuggle. Maybe you want to testify, "Jesus is my Lord." I don't care why you would come this morning, but the invitation is open.